You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Yeah, we've just finished our ambassador series, and we should by now understand that we've been made ambassadors of Christ because we've chosen to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And He makes us His ambassadors. We've chosen to follow Him. We've chosen to learn His ways. And just to recap the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's a calling on our lives to see people reconciled to the Savior, reconciled to God. But I want to encourage you, just before we get into this morning's message, it's imperative to understand what an ambassador does. You know, we often hear on the news like ambassador so-and-so, ambassador this, ambassador that. And an ambassador, if we look in a secular, worldly sense, is someone who's an accredited diplomat. They're sent on behalf of a state, on behalf of a country, to another country to be there, to maybe advocate for the people from their country who are there for whatever reason, things that are going on. But they also have a special purpose to represent the country that they've been sent from. And I want to encourage you that you are an ambassador who's been sent on a mission and you are representing where you really come from. We're just in this world passing through, amen. Our home is where? Our home is in heaven, and we'll get back there one day. But for right now, we're ambassadors who have been sent to this place to share the hope of Jesus. So I present to you today that we've been made ambassadors, and ambassadors, we're sent on a mission to reconcile others to God. And so today's message, as we head into this summer season, as we move on from our ambassador series, is I'm on a mission. I'm on mission. And just to remind you, at the beginning of the year, we sort of focused on disciples at the beginning of this year. This has been our focus throughout the year, and we've been learning it. But Matthew 28:19, for those who are unfamiliar by this stage, if you're unfamiliar with this scripture by this stage, we've done it wrong because we started in January. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This scripture calls us to go. It actually says go. Therefore, go. And when we see that, it implicates that we've been sent. When you've been told to therefore go, it implicates that you've been sent. You've been sent by God, sent by Jesus. And our common mission and purpose as followers of Jesus is to introduce people to the Savior of the world. What amazing responsibility for each and every single one of us. That all would be restored to a loving God. Who believes that their God's a loving God? Not a God of judgment and condemnation and putting you down. No, He wants to lift you up, bring you in close. And so we're not waiting to be sent. We've already been sent. The scriptures have sent us. We've already been sent. Sent to our families, sent to our community, sent to our schools, sent to our friends, our universities, our friends who we've known since primary school, our friends who we've just met. We are sent. Sent. And I just want our declaration, our heart cry today to be, I'm on mission. I'm not waiting to be on mission. I'm not thinking about being on mission. I'm on mission. I've been sent to go. And so by the time we've wrapped up today, this is what we're going to know. We're going to know that we're on a mission. We're going to know that we are to be known as people of God who are on mission. We're going to be people who are known by our wisdom, our grace, and our gentleness. Our wisdom, our grace, and our gentleness. If you remember anything from today, is that you are called to be known for your wisdom, your grace, and your gentleness. Now, as we kicked into this year the overarching theme of disciples, but specifically disciples who follow the ways of Jesus. So when you're a disciple of someone, you're learning their ways, the way that they do things, the way that they say things, similar to an apprentice. An apprentice goes into a workplace and learns how to hold a hammer correctly. Have you ever seen someone hold a hammer incorrectly? For someone who knows how to hold it correctly, it's really hard to watch. You know, they're just like choking right up, like just behind the metal bit, and they're like, why isn't this working? I'm not looking at you, Tim. I'm joking. I did teach you how to use a hammer, didn't I? And we looked at how disciples are called. And disciples respond to the call. We looked at not only discipleship, but the art of hearing and the art of learning and activating his ways. It's what we've been learning this year. And we've just finished looking at the fact that disciples are ambassadors of Jesus Christ with a call to reconcile. And today, as we come in towards what are some of the finale messages for 2024, and we're there, it's Christmas time. I just want to read this passage of scripture from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, just to refresh us as we come into the final part of this year. And it says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This great commission, this mission that we've been invited to and instructed to outwork. See, what I love about the scriptures is that God gives us this really clear picture of how we need to carry ourselves as Christians, but not just with the title of Christians, in outworking it within our families, in outworking it in everyday life when we're representing him. When I look at this passage of scripture from Matthew 28, all authority has been given to Jesus, and he puts the authority into us and says, go. Come on, I'm calling you to go. Make disciples. Share the love of Christ. Share the love of God with people. What I love about it is he gives us a really clear direction to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you, this church, God's church, Jesus' church, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not just about the Father, not just about the Son, not just about the Holy Spirit. We want everything, every facet, every character of God. We want to activate it in our lives and in our church. Amen. Who believes that that's the call of the local church? And so as we look at this first point today, if you're taking notes, they're in the Bible app. If you're taking notes on paper, this is your first point. I'm on mission. Of course I'm activating wisdom. I'm on mission. Of course I'm activating wisdom. People are, oh, am I activating wisdom? By the end of today, you are going to be activating wisdom. If you haven't started yet, it's not too late. Today's a good day to start. Amen. Colossians 4 verse 5 says this, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. There is a call on us. People who have been called to go, there's a call to be wise. There's a call to activate wisdom. Wisdom is not intelligence. Anyone ever said that they're the same thing to you? They got it wrong. Wisdom is not intelligence. I know many people who have like 200% intelligence, but it doesn't necessarily mean that deep wisdom exudes from their life. Doesn't mean they don't have any, but they're crazy smart. But wisdom can grow, amen? Same for all of us. Wisdom can grow. Wisdom doesn't come from self. We can't drum it up. You know, like, if you've ever had that call to get fit again, you can, like, put your alarm on that little bit earlier. You can push yourself to go out for a walk. You can push yourself to join a gym and attend sometimes. And by attending, I mean you walk past it with your fob and you swipe it and keep on walking. So you could try and drum that passion to try and do it, but you can't drum up wisdom. You can't go and buy wisdom. There's not a tape series. You like that? There's not a tape series that you can buy and listen to wisdom. See, wisdom is an understanding outside of our ability and smartness. Here's how it works. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. It's a little bit long. Here's how it works. Proverbs 3 says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." See, it goes on to say, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck." There's a lot going on in this passage of scripture. There's a lot. The key is wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is something that we should be pursuing. Wisdom is something we should be getting from God, his understanding, his wisdom. Don't let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Once you find it, keep your eyes on it. Once you find him as he gives wisdom to your life, keep your eyes on it. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. You know, it all went wrong with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it all goes right when you find the tree of life and you grab hold of it. It's God the Father. I want to encourage you, if you're someone who despises discipline and correction, and I get it, sometimes the way that people bring discipline and correction is absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't look like God. It looks horrid. It looks like you've been put down and told that you're this and told you that you're that. That's not a reflection of God. That's not the way that God does correction and discipline. He only corrects and disciplines those who he loves. He wants to see us grow. He wants to see wisdom fill our hearts. He wants us to write it on the tablet of our heart. And so why do I push in on that one a little bit this morning? If you have a habit of when someone maybe brings some correction, and it could be like something simple. I mean, I'm sure Dudley would see this all the time at the gym. Someone's doing something and it's the wrong posture, not getting it quite right. And he comes in, it's like, hey, like maybe you could try and like, so some people would be responsive. Some people would be like, I know how to do this. Until your back's like cooked. Same goes with the things of God, right? If someone comes to you, let's say I come to you and say, hey, have you thought about maybe like just talking a bit nicer to your wife, talking a bit nicer to your children? That's not me coming and being, it's not a whack. It's a, hey, God's done something in my life. My family's been blessed by it. I just want to share this with you as well. It's a correction onto the path that we're meant to be on. It adds wisdom. When we receive correction, it adds wisdom into us. I could preach about 18 messages on this passage, but he bestows upon you his understanding. He bestows upon you his wisdom, his guidance, his direction, his blessing, his provision, his health and wholeness. That's all of the things that we find in that passage of Scripture. In Colossians 4 verse 5, just to recap it again, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. See, wisdom is a key to being on mission well. See, the way we act towards others, it says everything about the one that we represent. The way we love others, the way we speak, the way we care, it says everything about the one that we represent. See, everyone is different. If I asked you one question this morning, I guarantee you that the room wouldn't be split in half, the room would be split in quadrants. Everyone's got a different opinion, a different stance, and that's okay. Our oneness comes in Christ, not through the opinion we have on what's the best grass for your lawn. Like, our oneness is in Christ Jesus. Everyone has a different experience with the churches that they've been to. Everyone has a different experience with the church people that they've met in church. And I encourage you, if you deal with everybody the same, inevitably you'll have hit and miss results. If your way of correction, if your way of loving, if your way of speaking to people is, I do it this way, and if you don't like it, you can lump it. I'm not sure that represents well the one whose heart is for all people to come to know him. You're going to have hit and miss results. Wisdom, his understanding, his revelation, it's required so that we can act, speak, and relate to people outside of these four walls and inside these four walls as well. We need his wisdom. We need to make the most of every opportunity. The second part of this scripture calls on us to make the most of every opportunity. Wisdom tells me, though, that making the most of every opportunity could and should look different every single time. My same practice, if I'm going to make the most of every opportunity, needs to shift and change depending on the person that I'm speaking, depending on where they've come from, depending on what work they do. So I would like to think that God hasn't called us to be vampire Christians. You're like, what? God hasn't called us to be vampire Christians. By that I mean, when we share Jesus with someone, but by default, we shouldn't be going for the jugular, for a quick conversion from death to life, right? We shouldn't be doing that with every single person. Some people are ready. Some people, they'll hear the good news of Jesus and they're like, I want and need that right now. But that's not everybody's journey. You might be the person who's just turning over the soil on the first conversation. What if they haven't had a conversation with someone about Christ before, about being loved by a father who loves them so deeply? What if that's so like the complete polar opposite to the experience that they've had? Wisdom says to me, if I'm to make the most of this opportunity, I need to be ready and exercise wisdom in the way that I act, the way that I speak, and the way that I prepare a space for this individual that's sitting in front of me. See, sometimes it works that way. You know, you've had a conversation with someone and they're like ready. Why? Because someone else has tended the soil. Because someone else has prepared and turned over the soil. Because someone else has sown the seed. Because somebody else has watered it. Because somebody else has got the individual place where they're ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm just going to push you on this. Wisdom tells me if it's soil preparation, sowing, watering, or harvesting. Wisdom tells me if it's healing, salvation, or listening. Wisdom tells me to share my testimony. Wisdom tells me to prepare a space that helps draw someone closer to the Savior of the world. Why? Because I'm on mission, and of course I'm activating wisdom. Of course I'm activating wisdom. See, this is making the most of every opportunity. Amen. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." If you want wisdom, you need to go to the Lord to get it. You need to put yourself in a place and read his scripture. From his mouth, from his word, the word of God, the Bible, comes wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 9:6 says this, "Forsake foolishness and live, and go the way of understanding." Forsake the old ways. Another version says it like this, "Forsake folly and live." We don't live for things that are just foolish. We don't want to pursue the way of folly. We want to pursue the way of wisdom and understanding. Amen. Point number two, I'm a mission. Of course, my conversations are full of grace and goodness. Of course they are. Of course, my conversations are full of grace and goodness. Why? Because I'm on mission. Colossians 4 verse 6 says this, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Ever been in a conversation with someone and you don't know the answer, you just make it up? Anyone ever done that before? Like someone asked a few directions? See, I think it's over that way, mate. I've never done that either. Does anyone here love a great piece of steak that melts in your mouth? Talking about food, not the steak that you nail into the ground. Does anyone love a great piece of steak? A couple of people. Maybe you love a great plate of vegetables. Anyone? Yeah. I don't mind both. Perhaps you prefer vegetables. Perhaps. And the one thing about both steak and vegetables, they've got this one thing in common. Vegetables like mushrooms and eggplants. Not tomatoes, because tomatoes are fruit. But for this example, tomatoes. See, the right amount of salt. Did someone say that's wisdom right there? See, the right amount of salt brings out flavors. Not only flavors that make them edible, flavors that make them tasty, full of flavor. See, the right amount of salt brings out the best in food. Salt makes food interesting. Now, not too much. Too much salt. And it's like, has anyone ever had... I asked Zach Demopoulos once to make me a pancake mix, which he did. He did. And he got it done. I needed it at a certain time. He got it done. I'm like, thank you so much, man. You just made my life a whole lot easier. Except for the fact that when he read salt, he did that amount for sugar. And when he read sugar, he did that amount for 8 tablespoons of salt. Salt over the top. Not only does it make you like want to vomit, but it's really bad for your body. It can actually cause your body to pack up. Kidneys, a whole range of different issues. Heart issues long-term if you like doing that every day. But see, the right amount of salt makes food interesting. It adds dynamic to our taste buds. Salt makes your taste buds dance if it's done in the right way. Is anyone getting hungry right now? It makes plain food interesting. So what does that mean to us in regards to this passage of scripture? If it says that our conversations need to be full of grace, seasoned with salt, what does that mean to us? So your conversations with others being full of grace means that we offer people unmerited favor in our words and our actions when we're speaking to them. And our conversations, the way that we're seasoned with salt, need to be in a way that helps bring out the best in that conversation, but also brings out the best in the individual that we're speaking to, so that when we're speaking those words, And we add some salt onto it. It's like, this is interesting what you're talking about. I like the flavor of what you're actually sharing with me right now. It makes the conversation dynamic. It makes the conversation come alive in the way in which you answer questions. I want to encourage you, if maybe when someone asks you, you know, so what did you do on the weekend? So, oh, I went to church. How was it? Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was good. Coffee was good. I don't know about you, but a conversation that's full of grace and seasoned with salt, seasoned with the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure if that's a good representation that a coworker, a family member, someone who just asked what you did on the weekend, I'm not sure if they're going to find that conversation interesting. It's not going to delight them. They're going to be like, reminder, never ask that question again. Let's keep our conversation full of grace and seasoned with the Spirit of God so that when someone does ask a question, we know how to answer the individual. Point number three, I'm on a mission. Of course, I love and speak with gentleness. Of course I do. Philippians 4 verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Self-explanatory, let your gentleness be evident to all. But that last part, the Lord is near. Now, if we're not gentle towards people, and there should be an urgency in our hearts. This could be the only opportunity that I get to share hope with someone. Whether it's turning the soil, whether it's preparing the soil, whether it's sowing the seed, whether it's watering, this could be the only opportunity this individual has. And my gentleness will actually draw them closer to the Lord who is near. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says it like this, but in your hearts reveal Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You can't get it much more plain and clear than that. But do this with gentleness and respect. Not matter of fact, not, oh, I've got other things to do. With gentleness and respect is how we've been called to outwork that. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 21 said this, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? I don't know about you, but I love being spoken to with love and people who've got a gentle spirit. Not uptight, not angry, not matter of fact, not dismissive. Love and a gentle spirit, gentleness and respect. I want to tell you a quick story. This is a story about the principal that I had when I was at school. My principal had urgency. He was an amazing man, but he had urgency. In his urgency, he had the understanding that he's on a mission. If you'd ask him, are you on a mission? He's like, I'm on a mission. You know, many of you have heard about my friend over the years, my friend Blake, who invited me to church, and that's the reason why I was able to get into church and find Jesus. But you haven't heard the story about my principal, Roy Magle. Somewhat of a local legend in the suburb of my youth. Everybody in the community knew him. He'd been in the community a long time. A man of God, a man of community, a man who created spaces for young people to find purpose, faith, and reconciliation. He had dedicated his entire life to education, community sport, and the mission of God. This is who he is. And I was somewhat of a wild teenager in my youth. Just a little bit. And let's just say Mr. Magor, my parents, and I had a consistent relationship. Let's just say it like that. Many times I would sit in front of my principal and, you know, remember, typically a principal is a person who has the ability to wield power and judgment. And in my day, the paddle also, for those of us who, you don't know how good you young kids have got it. But I just remember sitting in front of him and him knowing that it was me who did whatever the thing was that had been done, him not being able to prove it, but rather than wielding power, he exhibited gentleness and softness and mercy and love and care. His defining memory for me will always be that he represented the image of who Jesus is, of what Jesus acted like and who Jesus is. A gentle, loving concierge who prepared the way of salvation for a wounded young man. That's my memory of him. Nothing sensational. There's nothing sensational about him. He's just a good man of God, following the call of God on his life, choosing to be on mission. Nothing sensational, completely authentic and full of integrity. He was a space creator. He invited guest speakers to the school assemblies, engaged young people in competitive sports, and spoke with the gentleness of Christ. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you love someone to speak about you the same way that I'm speaking about him? Wouldn't you? All it takes is activating wisdom. All it takes is activating grace. All it takes is activating gentleness. Isaiah 40:11 says this: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. See, this is a future prophecy of what Jesus was going to do. But I tell you the truth, those who follow the ways of Jesus, they do the same. They bring people in close so that they can be brought close to Jesus. I'm a mission. Of course I speak with love and gentleness. Just as the team comes up this morning, you know. This is our calling, to be doused with gentleness and love, amen? Who wants to be doused with gentleness and love? I want that dripping from me, amen? See, gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit. And when people come into contact with us, the aftertaste, let the aftertaste be gentleness. Let the aftertaste be, oh, I've just been loved by someone who looks like Jesus. It's our calling. Let's grow in it. Let's seek it. Let's activate it. It's a moment, you know, maybe this morning, just as we stand to our feet, just as we come to the end. I want to encourage each of us today, every single one of us. If wisdom is wisdom, grace, and gentleness is maybe some of those things, like, yeah, I've started to activate it. And I just want to encourage you. Sometimes it's hard to put those things into place if there's potentially, maybe you need some areas in your heart that need healing. Maybe there needs to be some restoration to different things in your heart. I want to encourage you, can you come close to God? Can you come near to the one who loves you? Can you come near to the Father who loves you? Maybe even me just saying that, you're like, that's the issue. That's the issue. When you say come close to the Father, that's the issue. I don't get that. I don't understand that. If that's been your experience, maybe it's because there's been no Father present. Maybe it's because Father was around but not really there. Or maybe your dad was mean. Maybe your dad was someone who just put you down and didn't lift you up. And so you hear me say those words and you're like, no. You might already be a Christian, but still there's that thing. I just want to speak gently, just as we close our eyes this morning. I want to speak gently into your heart this morning. You've all heard the scripture, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. You've all heard it. But I'm believing for you today that there's going to be a revelation moment. A revelation moment. Where God just begins to do the deeper work in your heart, the deeper work in your spirit, healing, restoration, peace, impartation of wisdom, impartation of grace, the activation of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, been activated in you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, even as I was praying yesterday, it's allow the great physician to do a deep work in you this morning. Allow the great physician to minister to your spirit, to minister to your mind. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We're about to finish this morning. I know we've gone a bit longer than normal, but we're coming into the finale. It's the summer season. Your friends, your family, that they need to know Him. There's moments that are going to open up. There's opportunities. We need to make the most of every moment, every opportunity. And so as we come to the close this morning, if you don't know Jesus personally, you've heard me talk a lot about Him this morning. What I haven't mentioned yet is that God loved you so much that Jesus went to the cross, died for your sins, rose again on the third day. It's a miracle. God raised Him from the dead on the third day so that you could be known, loved, forgiven, not separated from God, but have a Heavenly Father who deeply loves you. And so maybe you're in this place this morning, so I need that. Either you've never prayed a prayer of acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you once did, but you went off and did your own thing. God's calling you back this morning. God's calling you back into the authenticness. Not distracted by the world. Not distracted by foolish things. But He wants you to come back into relationship with Him. And so my invitation to you this morning is to know Him personally. How do we do that? We're going to pray a prayer in a moment. But it's not so much about the prayer, it's about what's in the prayer. We acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We acknowledge that God raised Him from the dead on the third day. And when we confess that, God embraces us. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is your moment. The whole church is going to join us in praying the prayer. But if this is you this morning, can I invite you to meet Jesus, to know God this morning? Allow your life to change dramatically this morning. Let's close our eyes. Church, pray this prayer after me. Dear God, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank You that You sent Your Son, that He went to the cross, He died, but He rose again on the third day. I believe it in my heart. I confess it with my mouth. I repent of my sin. I choose to follow You. From this moment, I'm known, I'm loved, and I'm a son and daughter of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.